And thank you for all the members, and thank you especially for Fowler and Becky and Sandra and Yvette. Father, we thank you for every one of them. We need everyone and even more. So we just thank you for being the God that you are, keeping every promise that you ever made. And let us keep our eyes on you and nothing else. That you and see where you're leading us and guiding us. And I pray especially, God, for a meeting I have tomorrow, and that I have absolute favor and it fall out to our advantage. In Jesus' name. All right, I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. So I want to start at the 8th verse of Malachi. And while you're getting that, get Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Along with Malachi. I'm going to start in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. And tonight, I want to talk about rebuking the devourer. Rebuking the devourer. All right. If you have Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." This is the prophet talking to the people of God. All right. "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me." In other words, test me. Do this and test me and prove this. Try me in this. Now, herewith, right now, said the Lord of hosts, "if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts." Now, the Lord is speaking this not only to the children of Israel. We've been grafted in through the blood of Jesus Christ. But he also speaks this thing up. I'm not talking about tithes and offering now. I'm talking about the devourer, what a devourer looks like. And a devourer is something that swallows something whole. I mean, he swallowed it up. You done looked at people when they eat, look like they just devour their food to nothing left, and they'll keep on eating. That's what the devourer does. He never get enough. He never get full. I mean, just keep doing and doing and doing it, you know. That's what a devourer does. And I want to take this story about Gideon and we're going to look at what the devourer looked like among the people of God. In Judges chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Okay. "And the Lord and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." You remember in Deuteronomy 28, Moses, before those people, when they got to Jordan, before they crossed over, in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, he talked about all the blessings if you obey. And he also speaks about all the curses if you disobey. And that's been Israel's problem from the beginning. They just couldn't get rid of the idol of God. They keep on worshiping idol of God. They keep on disobeying God, and there's consequences to that. It's consequences to disobedience to God. And Israel kept paying the price of disobedience throughout the Bible. And they never could stay on the worshiping their God. God that they made with their own hands, purchased with their own money, or either they made it with their own hands, and they worshiped something that they made. And they wasn't gods at all. All right. So here we find Israel in another dire strait because of disobedience. And God allowed punishment to come upon him for their disobedience. And the thing about God, he gave them time. And as you read the prophets, he said, "I woke up early warning you. I warn you. I woke early. I sent my prophets to warn you about things going to happen." in this disobedience. And they were still disobedient in the midst of the warning. For years, they warned them, and they never stopped. It's an amazing thing about God. All that warning for all those years, and they still didn't heed the warning. They rather listen to something false than to listen to something true, because the false sounds good. I mean, it really fit my flesh. It really fit the way I want it to happen. But that's not the way it happened at all. God, there are consequences to disobedience. Us and them or anybody else that disobey God. Okay, so let's take it up to that first verse again. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midians for 7 years. Ain't nothing they can do for those 7 years to turn this thing around. 7 years, God put them in the hands of the Midians, and they didn't care nothing for them. And look what happened to them. He said, and the second verse says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against them. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. Now, this is a land that God had given to his people, Canaan, a rich land, a prosperous land, filled with milk and honey. And they weren't able to sustain this land because of the disobedience. It was fertile. I mean, they can grow. I mean, and nothing grew anywhere like it did in Canaan for the children of Israel. And that's what he told them when they went in, before they went in. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. But you can't get them. But they are not enjoying the milk and honey of the land right now. Okay. Now they're living in caves. They live in holes and rocks. They don't supposed to be there. They supposed to be living prosperously in Canaan. But instead, they hide. All right, here we go. Verse 3. So it was when Israel had sown, when they planted, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them. Now, they not warring against them. They not fighting them. They encamped against them. But watch what they're doing. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou came unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Now look what they did. This is the devour, y'all. They took everything. These people had a fertile land. Now this miles and miles and miles and miles of produce. Not only the Midianites come up, but children of the north and other people, about 100,000. They plant their garden and couldn't eat nothing out of it. They had enough for everybody and more than that. But God had punished them for their disobedience. They planting something that they can't even eat. And they were hiding from these people. These people didn't even kill them. They didn't even war with them. Why would you kill a war with somebody that's providing for you? They don't want to fight them. They don't want to kill them. You just keep planting these crops every year, and we're going to come every year and eat it up, time and grow. If they couldn't even eat it themselves, that's a devour. You working for it and can't take part in what you work for. They took not only all their produce, they took all their camels, took all their oxen, and all they donkeys, all of it. They devoured it all. And they would do this. Look here. For they came up with their cattle, their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number. Can you imagine something like that? I mean, this could be hundreds of miles. It wasn't just one town. It was out throughout all Israel. Throughout all Israel, they took everything, devoured it, and destroyed it. And that's just what the devil do. He come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, right now, he ain't killing nobody. He's just destroying everything that they work for. Thousands and thousands. Ain't no telling how many. I mean, like I said, go from town to town. This is not one city. This is throughout all Israel. They moving. They are nomadic people moving through the land, devouring everything Israel works for, and Israel can't take part in their own self. That is a devour. And that can happen to an enemy right now. Everything you worry for, that enemy coming. And that's why God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Because he knows the devourer destroys everything. These people are like locusts on the land. All right? And they got the same attitude the enemy has to destroy. The enemy is destroying now. He ain't killing nobody, but he's destroying. But they could starve after death. Because they take, okay, verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Not because they couldn't grow nothing. Not because it wasn't raining. There wasn't no famine. They got the farm and the latter rain. They got everything to be good. To be prosperous, to grow their crops. Because they were an agricultural people. They had it all there. But they couldn't even take part in it because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. It's amazing. You'll find this throughout the Bible. They get themselves in a situation through idol worship and not worshiping God and start worshiping these idols that ain't in God. All they idols are fertility and all that kind of mess. But there wasn't no idols. They weren't gods at all. They were man-made idols. And man can still make them too out of things. Okay, it's verse 7. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, sent a prophet. Now he sent a prophet to tell you what's going on. Sometimes when it devours your money, devouring things in your house, and even down to your children and loved ones, he's stealing things. And I've been on this for the last 2-3 weeks about calling those things in. But God sent a prophet to tell them what's going on, okay, unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus said the Lord. And, you know, we need to hear what thus said the Lord a lot of times when things start going on. You need to hear what God is saying in this situation. There's something going on that you're not aware of. Why is this happening to me? What's going on in my life that I'm doing wrong, saying wrong, or confessing wrong, or not paying any attention to? So they needed a prophet to come in and talk to them. God always sent his prophet, and he's still doing it today. Before he does anything, he tell his servants, the prophet, about this thing, even though they don't get the respect that they should in this day and time when they come with the real truth. All right. God sent a prophet unto Israel, to the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I brought you out of that. I paid a price for that to get you out of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians and out of the hands of all that oppress you. Not only I did that, but since you've been in Canaan, I didn't allow you to go into bondage anymore. And the bondage you're in now, you called yourself. Okay. And I delivered you from oppression, out of the hand of all who oppress you, and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. That's what God want to do for us. Drive this enemy out. He said the riches of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. I want to take it from them and give it to you if you will stay obedient. And verse 10 says, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. That's the problem. Disobedience to the voice of God. And that'll happen to you right now in some form by disobeying God's voice when you hear and know you hear. All right? And the enemy always come in to drive you in another direction when the voice of God is there. And you got to know God's voice when you hear. Jesus say, my sheep know my voice. And if we his sheep, like we claim to be, we know his voice. All right, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sit under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, as Gideon Danny. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it front of me. Like, now look here, wait a minute. A wheat and a wine press don't mix. You thresh wheat on the threshing floor, and you winnow it by throwing it up in the air and let the chaff fly away and the wheat fall to the ground. That's the way it's supposed to be wheat, and not in a wine press. A wine press is meant for crushing grapes. But he was so fearful of the Midianites, that's been going on for years, that he had to hide and prepare something for his food in a wine press. He was hiding that from them because you see that they'll take that too. And that's the way the enemy works. So he was in a wine press, threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites. And verse 12 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou man of valor. Whoa! He don't seem like no man of valor to me. He ain't doing nothing, I mean, so far as rebuking these Midianites, he hiding from them. He don't seem, ain't nothing valid. Matter of fact, this is cowardly. He hiding in the press, trying to thresh this wheat so he has something to eat when he got miles of field out there and can't even take part of it. But anyway, it's amazing how God saw him. He saw something in him he didn't see himself. He called him, great man, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, only my Lord, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all this, and where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Now, he done heard about the miracles of God. He done heard about the Red Sea. He done heard about all the armies they defeated. He done heard about Jericho. They done told him about all that stuff. And they and Gideon here, where is all that? I don't see it happening in my life. I don't see it happening to us. Where is God in this thing? See, he wasn't born when all that was going on. The fathers and grandfathers taught him those things, how God brought him out of Egypt and all the other things, all the other miracles that God did. They didn't forget it. And that ought to tell us something. Be sure to tell our children and grandchildren how great God is, what he did in your life, what you allow him to do in your life, and some of the mistakes you made. We ain't all mistaken. We didn't do it all right. We made mistakes too. But they ought to know some of these things. Tell them how God has blessed us is good, but also tell them the mistakes we made is just as good, because hopefully they don't make the same mistakes and fall in the same calamity. All right, let me start at the latter part in verse 13. He said, but now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked on him. Look here. Now, this is an angel talking. Now it says, the Lord. This angel have authority of some sort from God. You don't call him the angel. He called him Lord. All right, that's amazing right there. He must have saw something he never saw. Okay, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thou might, and thou should save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? How am I going to do this? How am I going to save Israel? How can I do this? I'm one man. How in the world can this happen? All right. And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. Uh-oh. This is whole background, a whole background of weakness, a whole background. All he knows is weakness and defeat. And he telling this angel, my whole family is poor in Manasseh. They don't have to be poor. All they riches is the Midianites eating up. And the people of the north all eating it up. And he said, I'm poor. But your riches, look at it, it's out there. But this is the attitude when the devil come in. This is how you look at yourself. As poor, not having it, can't, and ain't not able to make it. He said, I am the least in my father's house. We're the poorest in the clan, and you calling me man, great man of valor. And here, I'm the least among the poor in my family. Something ain't. And verse 16 said, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if I now have found favor in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talking with me. All right, now you done read this before about what Gideon did. He threw the fleece out one night, and he said, well, let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet. He said, all right. In fear, he said, now wait a minute, I want to try one more time. Now I'll make the fleece dry and all the ground be wet. And it happened, and that's exactly what he did. So he got his confirmation. You know, like some of us, we need confirmation. It ain't nothing wrong with that when you need that. Okay, turn with me to verse 7, Judges. Verse 7, Judges. Now, Gideon's name means the one who hacks or cuts down. And that's what he did after he won the wars. He cut down the groves of Baal, tore all the temples and his worship places down. That's what his name meant. They gave him that name, and I don't know if his parents really know what knew what that name meant when they gave it to him, but God had a name for him. He going to live up to his name. He going to tear down the altars of Baal after I raised him up. All right. Let me go. We got verse 7, I mean chapter 7, chapter 7, chapter 7, verse 1, starting at verse 1. Go. And then Jerubbaal, now Gideon, God changed his name, was changed to Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Hiram, so that the host, the Midianites, were on the north side of them by the hill of Moresh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites. God trying to tell them, you don't need all that. And it, look, this is the reason why. Okay, to give the Midianites unto their hand, lest Israel balk themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. You got to watch when God tells you something. He don't need a crowd, because God want to get the glory. If a crowd do it, they're going to say, boy, look at our might and our hand did this and our strategy did this. But God say, no, no, you got way too. He had thousands of men. You know, you can read the rest of the story. And God had to separate some people down to 300 to fight against hundreds of thousands of people, and they won that victory. And didn't hardly even have to fight much. So God, I mean, they pursued them, all of them, and they overtook every one of them. But he said it's too many. And that reminded me when David numbered the people. That's what it was about. And when Moses struck the rock in the wilderness, that's what this was about. You struck that rock, and you make them people think it's you. I didn't tell you to strike. I told you to speak to it. That's what he told Moses. And Moses got punished for that. He saw the land of Canaan, but he couldn't go in. All right. And David, when he numbered them, and God told him expressly, don't number them people. And he did it anyway, and he paid a price for that. God punished him for that. He disobeyed God. And it's important. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what the Bible says in Numbers. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In other words, if I'm disobeying, I might have to sacrifice something. Or you can sacrifice all you want to me. You can pray all you want to me, but you better obey me. That's what he, you can sacrifice. Sacrifice good. God like it. But he said obedience is better than sacrifice. And I just want you to see tonight about how what a devour looked like. But God delivered his people from the devour. God want to deliver us from the devour. If I had the time to do it, I'd tie it, but I don't want no devour in my midst. because he chew up and eat up everything. God said, I will rebuke him. And the very thing we read in Malachi is happening here in Judges. He said, your foot won't cast itself before the time. And all it had to do with agriculture for these people. So we have a devourer. You know the devourer. You know his name. And we look at things going on around us. We got to be mindful that God, when we obey God, he rebuked the devourer. Yeah, we rebuke him, but our rebuke ain't nothing like God's rebuke. God would say he would rebuke the devourer. Praise God for the word this morning. I just want to release that, this thing about the devourer and what he does. And God can give you a word, a strategy to defeat that devourer. And I want to remind you, Sunday is Lord's Supper. So have your juice and your bread ready Sunday morning when you preach, and also Sunday's Mother's Day. Buy your mother a good card, appreciate her, loving her. You know, sometimes things get kind of weary with mothers and daughters and sons and all that, but regardless, we're going to keep our mothers in mind. Do something nice for them. Buy something nice. Give her a nice card. Let her know you appreciate it. In spite of maybe you don't get along, she don't get along with you or whatever. You know, I know that's not happening here, I'm not sure. But anyway, give her something nice, treat her nice. You know, honey will get a whole lot more flies than salt. It sure will do that. So if you have anything that God may reveal to you, or God may something that you want to speak, give you room to do that right now. You know, if it's about the word or about a word that God gives you. You know, I'll give you space to speak on that right now. Either I'm the best teacher in the world and y'all got everything I said or what, I don't know. But okay, it's been a pleasure being with you tonight. We'll see you again Sunday morning. And take the word in your heart. Rebuke that devourer. Call in the things of your ancestors. Call in the things that they lost. Call in the money. Call in the property. Call in the anointing. Call in things out of your past that you don't even know. Call it in. Your mother may know how to do it. Your brother may not know how to do it. Your sister may not know how to do it. But you know how to do it because you've been exposed to it. You call it in. You don't know what God got out there for you, that all your family never knew how to call those things in. But it's time for you to call in those things from generations that the enemy has stolen, that the devourer has stolen, that the devourer has eaten up, that the thing that the devourer had done. And you never knew. Your mother may have never knew. Your father may not have ever known. But God can make them known to you. All right. God bless you, and Father, I just thank you for the word. Huh?
I just wanted to say that this on Saturday, we're going to have prepared for each family their Mother's Day gift and a packet for the children's class, and also have the Lord's Supper in your bag. So I'm going to have them on our front porch on Saturday, for you to come by, just drive by, pick them up. That's Saturday. You can text me when you're on your way or whatever, but I'm going to put them on the front porch so everybody have access to it, and your name will be on your packet. Your packet will contain your Mother's Day gift, a packet for the children's assignment for Mother's Day, and also the Lord's Supper kit for your family. Well, the cups, Lord's Supper cups for your family. That's all I needed to say, Pastor.
All right. Praise God. So anybody need a special prayer? Cool. Now, Father, we just thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the people of ACI. Father, we appreciate all that you're doing. We thank you, God. And let us always walk in obedience towards you. Let us always be the product of obedience. Let us always be the product of your blessing. And Father, I pray for every home right now to be blessed. Pray for every family to be saved. All in their families, God, to be saved. Oh, Father, I just see something, God. I'm telling you, I see something. And I'm asking you to bring it to pass, God. I'm asking you to open it up, God. I'm asking you to give me favor, God. In Jesus' holy name, we honor you and bless you tonight. And we pray all your people's homes be blessed. Every room, every part of property, their cars be blessed. And houses be blessed. And they be a light to their family. We bless you and honor you and thank you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Good night.